From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for being with us today, as once again we have time to let the Bible speak. We are continuing with our studies in Colossians chapter 1. And currently we're considering the first two verses, the picture of a New Testament church. Paul uses three very important terms that tell us three very important things about a true New Testament church. So I trust you'll stay with us as we spend some time together looking into Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. But as we usually do, we're starting with our daily devotional Bible study and our thought for the day. The devotional is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. And the subject is simply the motto of the Boy Scout movement, Be Prepared. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Sharpening axes is mainly the concern of lumberjacks, but in analogy, it speaks to all of us regardless of the work God has given us to do. The lesson is on the surface, and it's obvious. There's an advantage in being prepared for any task. Labor is unavoidable. Although the sorrow and sweat of labor are part of sin's curse, the fact of labor is God's gift. Rather than focusing on the curse, we should recognize it as God's gift, use it, and enjoy it. As Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 tells us, Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. God has put an axe in our hands, and we should learn to use it for His glory. Every job requires tools of some sort. The more efficient we are in using them, the better we can perform our task. A dull axe will eventually do the job, but it requires more effort and results in a ragged cut. It's wise to prepare for the job by making sure our tools are in good working condition. Being prepared is good advice for everyday life, and it applies to spiritual work as well. Regardless of our calling, we have the common tools of Scripture and prayer for the work of the ministry. We prepare for service by knowing as much as we can about God's Word and by seeking the Lord in prayer for the necessary measure of His Spirit to complete the task that He has given us. It's foolish to attempt spiritual work without spiritual tools. Let us give ourselves, therefore, to diligence, not only in the actual demonstrations of service, but in the necessary time of preparation in the tool shed of meditation, of prayer, and of Bible study. And our thought for the day, the price of mastery in any field is thorough preparation. If you're a regular listener to Let the Bible Speak, you will no doubt have heard me mention the booklet Separated Unto the Gospel. Let me tell you a little more about it, and perhaps you'll decide you would like to receive a free copy. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church here in North America, and this booklet aims to tell you what you need to know about our church. In a time when mainline Presbyterianism has become increasingly apostate, some people are surprised to find Presbyterians who still believe the Bible and stand for it without apology or compromise. Free Presbyterians are not the only Presbyterians who do this. There are other faithful men and churches, and we thank the Lord for them. However, they are increasingly difficult to find. And we want to nail our colors to the mast. We believe the Bible and seek to be faithful to it in every area. The booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, sets forth a very brief historical sketch of how the Free Presbyterian Church came into being and what its doctrines and practices are. We know that in an age when there are so many charlatans and compromisers of Scripture around, people are justly wary of anything with which they are not familiar. We hope this booklet will help you to get to know us a little better. We'd be happy to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. So if you'd like to have the booklet Separated Unto the Gospel, make sure you write or call. We look forward to hearing from you.
Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheep, beating time. Fleeting days are telling fast, and the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, beating time. That Jesus calls you, be in time,
be in time.
If in sin you longer wait, you may find no hope in days, and your cry be just too late, be in time. Sinner, heed the warning voice, make the Lord your final choice, then in heaven will rejoice, be in time. Come from darkness into light, come as Jesus made you rise. Come and start for heaven tonight, be in time.
Be in time.
Be in time.
Be in time.
Be in time. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time,
be in time.
If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gates, and your cry be just too late, be in time.
It's now time for us to take up our study of Colossians chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2, the picture of a true New Testament church. In yesterday's broadcast, we got as far as starting to look at the saints, the description of the purity of a true church. We noticed that the saints would speak of people who are separated from sin to God, possessed of holiness, and that they are so first by divine purchase. Now we want to go a little further and show that they are so by divine conquest. So let's return to Colossians 1, verses 1 and 2.
So we are separated, made holy, by purchase, by the precious blood of Christ. The New Testament church then is a company of Christ redeemed. But then we're separated by conquest. The word, the saints here are separated not only because they're purchased with the blood, but because the Lord Jesus stepped into their lives and He triumphed over them. And that's a biblical word. He triumphed over them, triumphed over their minds, flooding the darkness of their mind with light, triumphed over their will, renewing their will to give them a disposition, an inclination, and a desire after God in God's, on God's own terms. He triumphed over them by His grace. As I say, it's a perfectly scriptural expression. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, we have Paul's great word of thanks. He says, "Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph and maketh manifest the savour of His knowledge by us in every place." Causeth us to triumph. The reason the verb is translated that way, if you were to look at the text, there's no immediate thought in the text of causing us to triumph. The reason it's translated that way is reading into the Greek text a way of, or should I say, a way of translating a form of a Hebrew verb. Now, I'm not getting into the technicalities as to why the translators do that here. Sufficient to say that I'm not at all convinced that it is a good thing to do, a right thing to do. The verb simply means to triumph over. That's its simple meaning. It may mean to lead about in triumph. For example, if you go, and there are only two references in the New Testament where you find it used, and they're both here in Colossians, or should I say the second one is here in Colossians, and in chapter 2, verse 14, you find out, I think, what it means. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, was contrary to us, He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now look at it carefully. There's the verb. Christ has, in Colossians 2, 14 and 15, He has taken on all the principalities and powers and all the things that were contrary to us, and He nailed them to His cross, and He triumphed over them in doing so. Now that's the meaning of the verb. That's the same verb that we find in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. Thanks be unto God, which always triumphs over us, leads us about in triumph. I think that it is generally accepted that this is a verb that is used as a picture. In those days when a conqueror, especially a Roman general, reduced a city and took its people captive, many of them he would slaughter, many of the chief people or whatever, the special people, or even a number of slaves that were later going to be put to death. He would lead them captive. He would lead them as his trophies. And as he came to Rome or wherever else he was going to be given the acclaim of the people, he would lead these captives along. And this is the verb that would be used. Paul, you see, saw himself as a trophy of God's gracious power in Christ. He was not an unwilling captive, but he was a captive. He saw his almighty conqueror leading him about as an example of his power at once to subdue such a man as Saul of Tarsus and to save him by his grace. You see, the foe of Christ was now his friend and his servant. And he says, thanks be unto God, which leads us about as his captive and as his trophy. Archbishop Trench, whose work on the words of the New Testament is still the standard work, spoke on this. He says, as to be led in triumph by man is the most miserable, so to be led in triumph by God is the most glorious lot that can befall any man. That's what Paul is saying. Another great English commentator on the Greek New Testament, Henry Alford, said, our only true triumphs are God's triumphs over us. That's a profound remark. Our only true triumphs are God's triumphs over us. His defeats of us are our only true victories. Now here we are. We're separated by conquest. Separated by blood, separated by conquest, and separated unto holiness by self-surrender. We can say with Paul when Christ stopped him on the Damascus road, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You see, this is the mark. You're not saved because you surrender. But once you get to Christ and you meet with him, there's a complete surrender. I have difficulty with this modern believism view or easy believism view of salvation. Not only do I have difficulty with it, I utterly reject it. It's a travesty of the Bible. Turns the teaching of the Lord Jesus on its head and makes a mockery of most of the ministry of the Son of God among men, whereby they come and say that you just come and you believe, even though you have no intention now of having Christ as your Lord. You may ask him to save you from hell, save you but not reign over you, save you but not subdue you, be your Savior but not at this time your Lord. There is no such dichotomy to be found in the New Testament. And I tell you today that it is not the mark of a New Testament church to be preaching that sort of rubbish. When Jesus Christ separates us with his blood, conquers us by his grace, we are separated unto him by a true self-surrender, so that the New Testament church then is a body of redeemed people, of trophies of grace, willing captives of the living Christ, and of consecrated people who fulfill Romans chapter 12 in the opening two verses and present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, because it is their reasonable service. The first description then speaks of the purity of the church, and that is in the word saints. The second word that Paul uses of the Christians in Colossae is the word faithful. And that speaks of the fidelity of the church. Now there's a lot of debate as to the meaning of the word faithful, or translated faithful. Does it mean faithful? That is, they are trustworthy and they are people who stick by their profession and they go on with God and there's no shifting or drifting? Does it mean they're faithful? Or does it mean they're full of faith? Does it mean they're trustworthy or they are trusting? And there's been a lot of discussion about that. I'm not going to go over stuff that I dealt with in another connection some time back. I'm going to just make the statement that this is a storm in a teacup and an argument about nothing. Because if you take in the full usage of the New Testament concerning this description of God's people, It has both connotations. And to try to slice down the middle what God brings together, put asunder what God has joined, to me is folly. This scholarly notion that we certainly don't live within our own lives, that the Holy Spirit cannot use a word with a complex meaning, is self-defeating. We go to the Bible and we find out how does he use the word, and he shows us how he uses the word, and it means both of these things. Let me put it this way. Paul meant to convey first that these people were believers. That's obvious. They were believers. This immediately presupposes that there was something that they believed. There's a body of truth that they believed. And this is what Colossians is all about. It's establishing the central doctrine of the gospel apart from which a man cannot be a Christian. You read this epistle to the Colossians, and as I say, it's all Christ-centered, but there's a body of belief here. And if you don't believe it, you're not saved. Doesn't matter what spine-tingling experiences you've had. Doesn't matter what church or sect you've been baptized into. If you don't believe this, you're not saved. There's a body of belief that Paul emphasizes. And I will simply sum it up at the moment by saying the New Testament church is based on the body of revealed truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're believers. Second, they're full of faith. They're saved by faith. By grace are you saved? Through faith. They're saved through faith. Not only that, but being justified by faith, they live by faith in the Son of God who loved them and gave himself for them. You see, Christians are a people who are full of faith. They're a people who have to come back ultimately to the gospel and relate their hope for life eternal, relate their power to live in this world, relate everything they are and everything they do to the central verities of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're full of faith. They can never get away from that. They reject all systems of human merit. They reject all systems of human works. They're a people of faith. And then, as a result, they're trustworthy. They're a faithful people. People who are full of faith will be faithful. You see, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to remain true to Christ. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be Christ-likely true in your dealings with other people, whatever the cost. You see, this brings us right back, full circle. Only these people have the right to be called saints.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs
visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.